worship at the shrine of the blessed serpents of the apocalyptic gospel of the martyred Marcus the Peripatetic. Beneath it was a sheet of card under clear plastic, which listed the days and times of the services. There was one due the following morning at 7 o'clock.
Early bird gets the snake.
Unless it's the one we got first. Baron seemed to think we should go.
Then we should.
The last notice was on a wooden board, screwed to the front wall of the building. Guardians of the Sepulchre of the Sacred Snakes. Norman Mote, Marianne Mote, Apostolic Apprentice, Joshua Mote. Beyond the old movie house, the ville ended. The road just faded out into the semi-desert, vanishing into a deeply rutted dirt trail. They turned and looked behind them, from Main Street to the desert beginning, just past the elegant town hall. Snakefish wasn't more than a couple of straggling blocks wide.
No gaudies? No drinkers either?
Nope. Not like Moxon, or some of the real heavy frontier pest holes. This is all clean and decent.
Yeah, and they worship snakes, lover. Don't forget that.
Doc and Lori were just coming out of a clothes shop as Ryan and Christy walked past them. The store was called Handmade and featured a marvelous patchwork quilt in the window, made of hundreds of tiny pieces of colored satins and silks.
Spend any of your snakefish, Jack, Lori?
Nice skirt in there, but old miserable Doc said it cost too many.
It was beautiful. Segments of lace, some old and some new, all stitched together. And it was kind of transparent. I fear that it cost more Jack than we've got in total, and I decided that the garment would have lasted about 0 seconds in the brush.
Wouldn't have worn it out in sand, would I? It was so pretty, Doc. I don't wear anything pretty now.
One day, my dearest and most cuddlesome little dear one.
Dear one, dear one, dear one! When's that?
Tomorrow. Always tomorrow. But one day, I promise you, Lori, it will be tomorrow. I shall allow you to make an honest man out of me.
Lori flounced away, head in the air, leaving Doc with Ryan and Christy.
She'd tan her ass, Doc.
She's just 17, Ryan, if you know what I mean. And the way that... I'm sure that used to be a song once. Or I'm a poet and I don't know it. No, the girl's growing up, and she's growing away. You can't change the wind, Ryan. And I would never try.
Want to walk back to the rooming house, Doc?
Thank you, Ryan. Good friends are a consolation against the grievous rigors of this parlous world. And I do appreciate your great kindness toward me. But I must walk that lonesome highway by myself.
Keep away from the snakes.
One place that fascinated Ryan was a store selling memorabilia. Predark was its name. The window was dusty and the interior badly lit, despite the ville's electrical power, all of it provided by a huge gas-fired generator on the edge of town.
Let's go in.
Inside the store, it was humid and quiet, the silence broken only by the ticking of a tall grandfather clock in the corner.
Good afternoon, strangers. Come into my little cave of riches with a good heart. Be at peace with all men. Gentle be the selling and the buying. And could you shut that coil-bound door?
Christy hastily pushed it closed.
Keeps out the scale-blasted flies, you understand. Can I help you outlanders to any small curio or other?
This stuff all come from before the long winters?
Indeed. Much of Southern California took the big plunge into the Pacific down the Andreas. A lot of neutrons around here. My father and me have been collecting since then. I pay packies to go scouring the old gulches and ghostvilles.
At last the man stepped out from the darkness, sliding through a curtain of clear glass beads. He was in his late 50s and wore a loose shirt, hand-woven in varying shades of purple and green. He sported old-fashioned glasses with lenses tinted a very deep blue, and he held his head to one side like a querulous parrot.
I don't see well. An accident in a warm spot that became hot without my noticing it. Corneal damage, I believe. That's why I keep my humble establishment a touch gloomy. It pains me less.
Mind if we look around?
Of course not, Mr. Carter.
How'd you know my name, Mr.?
Zombie and his two-wheelers helped me in finding items for my store. He described you very well. My name is Brennan. Yes, the same as Baron Edgar. He's my brother. His nephew, Leighton, is my grandson.
It seemed like he was going to go on and say more, maybe a lot more. But a shadow fell across the window, and he turned like a startled hare, taking 3 steps back to the shelter of his beaded curtain.
It's all right. Friend of ours, Rick Ginsburg. Hey, Ryan. Looks like he's been laying out some jack on clothes.
Ginsburg entered the shop cautiously.
Is that you guys? I thought I saw you from the window. I changed that old suit for something more practical. Laid out most of my jack.
Rick was wearing a pair of faded Levi's tucked into ankle-high hiking boots with studded soles, a washed-out work shirt in light brown, and a heavy-duty quilted jacket.
How do I look?
Hell of a lot better, Rick. Could find it going warm in that coat, but yeah, make life easier for yourself when we get moving again.
Mr. Ginsburg, I'm Rufus Brennan. Welcome to my store. Browse around, and I hope that you will be guided to what is right and fitting for you.
You never owned a jewelry store down near Fisherman's Wharf in San Francisco, did you?
No. Those names are not familiar to me. Why do you ask?
Just the way you do the sales pitch. But let it pass.
Let's look around some. Then we can get back and see how JB and Jack have been doing. You feeling okay, Rick?
Sure. It's just that seeing all this stuff from... We'd have said most of this was plain junk. But it's a time warp. Walking down the street here with the houses and the stores. Similar, but not the same. No, not the same at all.
Ginsburg took off his spectacles and began to polish them furiously. Pre-dark wasn't a very large store, but it was crammed with all manner of memorabilia. One corner was filled with children's toys and games. Creatures with names like Care Bears and Dumpy Loves and comp-controlled dolls that would do everything except make people love you. There were plastic figurines that you could move and place into stiff poses. They all had incomprehensible names such as Hutch and Fonzie and Indiana, and most seemed to come from places with strange oriental names. There were all sorts of souvenirs. Ryan guessed people must have once collected them to remind themselves of places they'd visited. Disneyland was one that he'd heard of. Tuckalookahoochee Caverns was one that he hadn't. One table held a dozen different kinds of telephones. Ryan picked up one that was made to look like a droopy white dog.
You got working transceivers in the ville?
No. A few years back, my brother tried to get one installed. Not much interest. Folks figured that Snakefish is such a small ville you could lean out on your porch and shout to most everyone that you wanted.
Christy was fascinated by an intricate metal tool with prongs, spikes, and cogwheels.
Gaia, what's this do?
That used to have a little box, but it was all raggedy. But I know what it was for corn and avocado. And if you twist that button, it will remove the seeds from grapes. Kind of useful, isn't it?
Useful? I'd rate it about level with a glass scattergun on the useful scale.
Hell's bloody bells!
What have you found, Rick?
My past, Ryan, this book! Poems and short stories of Edgar Allan Poe. I had this given to me as a school prize when I was about 11, around 1981. Scared the shit out of me with its pictures and the creepiness of...
Did your friend say he was 11 years old in 1981?
No, he didn't. And if you started talking around about how he did,